So, today is week number one of a new series called Cadence. So, question, any of you have any idea what the word cadence means? Rhythm, okay? I ask because the general definition of cadence is an interesting one, and that helps set the tone for the next 4 weeks. This is what I found to be the one definition of cadence. A modulation in reading aloud, as implied by the structure, I think that part is important, the structure and ordering of words and phrases in written text. Huh. Like, okay, that's kind of... That's not an easy one to understand or follow. Most often the word cadence is used to describe someone's voice when they are speaking or reading, especially maybe if they're reading a book out loud. Like, you know, if it's a teacher reading a book to a class, if they're pausing in the right areas and they're emphasizing the right words and the right phrases, I mean... A bad narrator can make a reading just plain awful, right? Or a good narrator, just the opposite. So you think about a teacher reading to the class, I mean, it can either keep the class very engaged or it can basically allow them, make them drift off to sleep, right? And it's the same thing with any kind of public speaking, I guess. If they're pausing in the right places, emphasizing in doing the right things, the audience is going to be much more engaged. For those of you who aren't maybe into audiobooks, the same principle is true in music, right? Just for a moment, think about a song you recently listened to and how the rhythm either adds to or takes away from the song. You listen to a song and you're like, man, I really like the rhythm. That song has great rhythm. And or you've heard someone say, I love the rhythm in that song, right? And sometimes it's the rhythm more than anything that really draws us in to the song. It's not even about the lyrics sometimes. It's just about the rhythm. I hear young people say that a lot. Like, I'd be like, Julia, those lyrics aren't really that great. Well, I'm not listening for the lyrics, Dad. I just really like the rhythm. Well, I get that you like the rhythm, but you're still pouring those lyrics into your mind, whether you think so or not. Or how about this one? Somebody has great rhythm on the dance floor. You're like, man, look at them. They have really great rhythm on the dance floor. Nobody has ever once said that about me on the dance floor. Nobody has ever said, look at Dan. He has great rhythm on the dance floor. In fact, it's quite the opposite when I'm on the dance floor. When someone says something has rhythm, generally we see it as a compliment, right? Like, wow, they have rhythm, or that song has rhythm. However, everything has rhythm, okay? Sometimes it's orderly, and sometimes it's chaotic. So somebody might say so-and-so has great rhythm on the dance floor. The other person has rhythm. It just might be bad rhythm, right? Might have... But same thing in music. I mean, every song has a rhythm. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's orderly and sometimes it's chaotic, but we still call it a rhythm. And just like music, just like reading or public speaking, there's a right rhythm and there's a wrong rhythm, or a good rhythm and a bad rhythm. In other words, there's a healthy cadence and an unhealthy cadence. One of the first places that we see example of cadence or godly cadence is in the rhythm of creation. Is in the rhythm of creation. When God created the cosmos, he was clearly in the groove, right? And all that he created, he said, was what? He said it was good. He created creation, or created everything with cadence, good cadence, orderly cadence, and when he was done, he said, it is good. So if God says it's good, then we ought to agree that it is good. It should be good enough for us. So I want to start this series by opening up the very first book of the Bible. And not only the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter of the Bible. And not even just the first chapter, but the very beginning of the Bible. The very beginning of Genesis. I'm sure that you could recite these verses over and over again. You've heard them, you've read them, you've memorized them. But for those who maybe have never heard of it, Genesis 1:1 says this, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." As God proceeded to create, he then entered into a beautiful cadence and rest. And I think that's the part that we have to remember. There is creation and then there is rest. And this is what it says in verses 3 through 5 of Genesis 1. It says this, "And God said that let there be light. And there was light. God saw that light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. And God called light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning on the very first day." It's interesting to me that at the very beginning of creation, God created day by taking the light and separating it from the darkness. And by creating the light and constructing day, God was able to enter into his groove of creation. It said, "And then there was evening, and then there was morning." We know that God gave us a sunrise, and God gave us a sunset. Perhaps two of the most beautiful events in all of creation is a sunrise and a sunset. I mean, if you've seen the perfect sunrise, you know how beautiful it is. If you've seen the perfect sunset, you know how beautiful it is. And it's right where God started. It's right where God began. In the rhythm and cadence of a day, and every single day since that day, without fail, there has been a sunrise and there has been a sunset. And it has been set in perfect cadence and in perfect rhythm day after day since day one. If you think about it, that's quite a remarkable miracle in itself. Now, I remember the year that I spent in a manufacturing plant. You know, it was pretty impressive to watch the rhythm of like a robot. But, and it was like poetry in motion. But there were always times when there would be a hiccup, interruption, or something would fail. No matter how well it was maintained, no matter how well it was cleaned and put together and programmed, there were always times that something would fail. Man, and if you think about it, since day one, it has never failed. There has always been a sunrise, and there has always been a sunset, and there's always been day, and there's always been night, perfectly in order, in rhythm, in cadence, and perfectly orderly. Isn't that something? Admittedly, there is a lot that can happen between the sunrise and the sunset. In that 24-hour period, think about all that you have to cram into 24 hours some days. Think about it. Some days we seem to zoom past, some days just seem to zoom past as we cram so much in, and the days just fly by. And then the next 24 hours might just seem to drag by, and you're like, is the day ever going to end? Every one of them are different. Even if we work diligently to have the same routine, ultimately something comes up that is out of our control, and our days oftentimes look different. We wake up with thinking we know what our routine is going to be, but then something happens and we fall out of that routine. But I bet there are a few of us here this morning that have really thought much about the cadence of the day. The rhythms, the grooves, the habits that we so easily step into throughout the course of a day. And to be fair, it's often difficult when you're in the middle of something to be able to step back and see the bigger picture. When something pops up that you have to immediately deal with, it's hard to kind of step back and see the bigger picture. And for many of us, it takes an interruption or disturbance to get us to stop and reconsider, to reorient the cadence of our lives. And oftentimes, the interruption is not a positive one. It might be a illness, or it might be a sickness that forces us to just stop, like we just can't go on. And sometimes I think that's God's way of stopping us and saying, yo, you need to stop. You need to look at the rhythm and the cadence because you have fallen out of step. And I think sometimes God does that. So what if we could see things from a little different perspective? What if we could see things from, let's say, God's eye view? What can we learn from the creation account in Genesis about how God stays in rhythm? A couple of principles we're going to look at. And the first one is God's design. This is the first point, and we've already kind of identified that as God broke up his creative process into separate days of creation. We know that he broke it up into separate days of creation. Using this process, he created the skies. He created the oceans. He created land. And then in Genesis 1:14, God created the sun. And then he created the moon and the stars. Signs to further help mark the seasons and days and years in our life, right? Think about what I just said. God created the sun and the moon and the stars to serve as signs which mark out for us different days, different seasons, and years. It marks out different seasons because we know that in winter the sun sets at 5:30 or 6:30, right? In the middle of the summer, it sets at 10 o'clock. So it sets out the days and years and even seasons in our life. The sunrise and sunset, they're beautiful and they're majestic and they're inspiring, right? I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing a sunset over a lake on a clear night. It's beautiful. They're beyond that. They are also signal flares which help us stay in God's, in the groove that God has gifted to us. Right? When we see the sunset, we know, okay, our day is done. Our work is done. It's time now to rest. And when we see the sun rise, we know that it's time to awake from our rest and it's time to get to work, right? So these sunrise and sunsets are like signal flares to us to keep us in rhythm. To further emphasize this last point, it was only after this that God created all living creatures. Land and sea, air and water, all of them. Then of course, in Genesis 21:26 and 27, it says this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along on the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. See, understand that we were the last bit of creation, right? He created humans last. He created humans after the cadence of creation had been established. He created us after he created this rhythm in such an orderly fashion. He created us after the signal flares were made to light up the morning and the evening skies. These things weren't just mere afterthoughts. They were intentional and they were meaningful. The seasons, the days, and the years are integral parts of the human life in flourishing, and they have been since the beginning of time. In short, if you're seeing things from God's perspective, you'll see and understand the true beauty of these boundaries. I go back to time in the manufacturing plant. Talk to anybody that's worked third shift. When they try and work when it's dark outside and they try and sleep when it's light outside, that's not God's cadence. That's not the way He wired us. And you never, ever feel the same. Why? Because you're stepping out of the rhythm. You're stepping out of cadence of God's plan and God's design. God's design was for us to work and be awake when it's daylight and sleep and rest when it's dark. And when you try and be at odds with the way that God created, you just don't feel the same ever. Light and dark, morning and evening, sunrise and sunset. There is beauty in those boundaries. The daily cadence that God created dates back literally to the beginning of time, to the very beginning. One might even say that cadence was God's first gift to us. And He created it before He even created us. So the question is, what happens? What happens when we try to bend those boundaries or ignore the signal flares that God graciously gave us? Well, I just gave one example. When you try and bend the boundaries and sleep during the day and work at night, it's hard and it's not easy and you never feel rested. You never feel right. You always feel like you're kind of in a fog. The second principle that I want to talk about this morning is the chaos of life. I think we can all agree that sometimes life is just a chaotic mess. Sometimes from just events that happen in our life, sometimes from our own irresponsibility. Sometimes chaos comes when we're irresponsible. Sometimes chaos comes when we forget to pay bills or we're irresponsible. Or chaos comes when we don't show up for a meeting or things like that. So sometimes we bring chaos on ourselves. Sometimes chaos enters our life when other people are irresponsible and they don't show up for the meetings that they're supposed to or whatever the case may be. But sometimes life is chaotic and sometimes life, it seems like it's completely out of rhythm. It's not even on the same sheet music. Some days it feels like it's so far out of rhythm. There are things that happen to us that are so outside and beyond our control that it makes it impossible to plan ahead. We wake up and we have a routine plan, but something happens that we just can't account for, and we have to deal with it. I would argue that this is precisely the reason to humbly submit yourself to the cadence that God has created. It's so important that we humbly submit ourselves to those boundaries. When you try, night after night, to stretch the hours, and week after week to finish the project, to meet the goal, you burn yourself out. You do. You burn yourself out. And why do you burn yourself out? Because when you're doing that, you're bending the boundaries of the cadence that God created. Even God on day 7 said He what? He rested. So when we try and do those things, we're going against God's rhythm and we're bending the boundaries and it doesn't work out well. We're going to talk more about that next week. But your body itself is biologically tuned in to be in rhythm. That's the way God created everything. He created the universe that way. He created us that way. And when you try and push that boundary and move past that natural barrier, bad things eventually happen. What happens when you're tired? You're more apt to injury. You're more apt to be have an attitude. You're more apt to say something to someone that you shouldn't. You're more apt to get sick, right? All these things that we make ourselves susceptible to when we try and bend the boundary of the cadence that God created. Now, all of us can handle it for a little while, right? While some people can sustain a superhuman pace longer than others, some can go and go and go for longer than others, but sooner or later, you'll find that you simply can't kick the can down the road any further. You can kick it down the road just so far, and some can kick it down a little bit longer, further than others, but at some point, it comes a time when you just realize that, look, I just cannot kick the can down the road any further. And eventually, God's limits and God's designs for creation will catch up to you, and you'll have a dilemma. When you try and push the boundaries of that cadence, eventually you'll realize that you can't do it anymore, and you end up with a dilemma. Remember the definition of cadence that I shared in the very beginning. It is a modulation in reading aloud as implied by the structure and ordering of words and phrases in written text. In other words, cadence is rhythm that rises and falls, and it rises and falls. Sometimes you put emphasis on certain text, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you pause when you're reading, and sometimes you don't. There are peaks and valleys and highs and lows, and life is best lived in a similar fashion. Sometimes you have to push yourself. There are days when something comes up and you just have to push yourself and you have to move faster. And then there are other times when you need to slow down, when you need to rest, and you need to recharge. That's the way God designed it, and that's the way that we will flourish as human beings if we understand the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs and the rhythm of work and the rhythm of rest. We simply cannot live life 100 miles an hour all the time. And I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but chaos is not God's best for you. Chaos is not God's best for us. Cadence is God's best for us. Healthy day in and day out cadence is God's best for your life. Chaos is not. If your life feels like it's in a constant state of chaos, you have a problem. And it means that you're bending the boundaries of God's cadence. And it means that you're time to reorient. It means that you're not walking in step with the way that God created us to live. The third principle this morning I want to talk about is this idea of our daily bread. So now I'm sure some are thinking, if cadence is God's best, then what does that look like for me? What does God's cadence lived out in my life look like? How do I stay in the boundaries that God created? How do I live a life of flourishing and a life of health? Those are great questions. And I believe the Bible has a lot of good answers. But this morning I want to look at two of them. The first one is found in Psalm chapter 1. And again, you've probably heard this before. And it's 1 through 3. So Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And it says this: Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and those leaves whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Psalm 1, 1 1 through 3. Sorry. In just a few verses, the psalmist gives some incredible advice for healthy living. For healthy living. I'm sure you've heard people talk about distancing themselves or cutting themselves off from toxic relationships in their lives, right? Some people reach a point and they say, you know what? This relationship over here is toxic for me. For whatever reason it is, not necessarily saying it's a bad person, but being in a relationship with that person is just creating a toxic atmosphere in my life. I need to cut myself off. You've heard people say that. Well, the psalmist identifies the wicked, the mocker, and the sinner as people that we ought to avoid. That we ought to avoid. The harsh truth is that people who don't love God also won't care one way or another about the boundaries and the gifts that He has given. If somebody doesn't care about God, then they don't care about the boundaries that He's given, right? And they don't care about the gifts that He has given. And they definitely won't see the value in meditating on the law day and night. So if we are in unhealthy relationships or toxic relationships with other people who don't understand the boundaries that God has given, we're setting ourselves up for failure. But there it is again for us, day and night, right? Meditating on the law day and night, morning and evening, this whole idea of daily rhythm. The law is a reference to Scripture, and so another way of saying this is to say that your daily routine and cadence should include regular time in God's Word. And if you do the things that Psalm 1 says, then you will be what? You will be what? Like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. How does that sound? Doesn't that sound nice? Don't you want to be like that? Don't you want to be like a tree who is planted by the stream of water, who bears good fruit, and whose leaves never wither? That's a picture of flourishing. That's a picture of a healthy lifestyle. That's the picture of someone who is living in the rhythm of God's cadence in an orderly way that He created us to live. And that's not to say that life will be easy or that you won't have any problems. But to say that this is the path to health and flourishing is truth. Distance yourself from toxic relationships and build in time with the Word of God. And when you do those things, it will help you stay in a healthy rhythm. And then I said there were two things that I wanted to look at this morning in terms of how we stay in that rhythm. And the second one is found in Matthew 6:11. To ask God for our daily bread. Jesus' advice and what He understood all too well is each day has what? Has enough trouble of its own. And that we are to go boldly to our Heavenly Father seeking our needs every single day. Matthew 6:34. Obviously, you can still pray and ask God for future things. He wants us to do that. And it's important that we do that. But the point is that both Psalm 1 and Jesus both, via even the Lord's Prayer, reinforce the power of daily living. We talk so much about goals that we want to meet and things that we want to do in the future, but the problem is we work so hard for those goals that we don't pay close enough attention to our daily rhythm and our daily routines. And in trying to achieve future goals, we bend the boundaries that God has created for us. in the creation of the days was God's first, the creation of days was God's very first act. It's his very first miracle. It was his very first gift to us. So then my question is, what are you doing with that gift? What are you doing with that gift that he has given us? Are you staying focused and present within the divine boundary that he set from the very beginning? The psalmist says in Psalm 118:24, "Today is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it." That means today is a gift from God. I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to go a million miles an hour against and bend the boundaries of that which God has created. Are you going a million miles an hour that you're not even finding reasons to rejoice today? Are you accepting of an open to the natural cadence of life? Are you open to that? Or are you so focused on reaching goals that you forget about the daily rhythms of life and you're pushing those boundaries? You're up at 1 o'clock in the morning sending emails and doing this kind of thing. That's not the way that God created us to live. So are you open to the natural cadence of life? The ebbs and the flows, the highs and the lows, the days that the Lord has made for you. That's the question that you need to think about this morning. I'll just close with this. Every day is truly a gift. And in a time of pandemic and people getting sick and people dying, it's even more apparent how special and how truly beautiful the gift of life is. And each day is a gift. Now, I get it. Some days don't feel like a gift. Some days the stress level just does not feel like today is a gift. And sometimes the beauty truly lies in the eyes of the beholder. But a healthy cadence is a way of life. And in the next few weeks, we're going to continue our journey together by exploring personhood, performance, and passion. Each of these specific subjects has a cadence. It has a rhythm. It has a groove to it. Each of these subjects has a healthy and an unhealthy cadence that can lead to or distract from living a flourishing life. Did you hear that? It can either lead to or distract from living a flourishing life. We want to put into practice things that are going to lead us to a flourishing life, that are going to lead us to living in the rhythm that God created us to live in. This coming week, I want to encourage you. Now, I want to challenge you to go back and reread Genesis chapter 1. You've read it a million times probably. I want you to reread it. And I want you to reread it with a slightly different perspective. See, we read about creation, we think, wow, God's awesome. But I really want you to think about it in terms of this whole idea of a rhythm in a cadence. Watch for the rhythm. And watch for the beauty that happens throughout the process of creation. Take some time to watch a sunrise. Take some time to watch a sunset or gaze at the stars with this perspective of God's cadence, of a rhythm to everything, of the boundaries of day and night, in light and dark, in sunrise and sunset. And just think about it with a different perspective. And my prayer is that after you do those things, you will be able to say, just like the psalmist said, in 8:3-4, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." Look, God created this cadence and the rhythm of life for our own benefit. And he created us, our lives after that, to be in alignment with that cadence. And it's so important that we remember and try and live within those boundaries. Quit trying to push the boundaries. Quit trying to live outside of the cadence that God created. And I pray that you will have a deeper understanding and appreciation of God's love and care for you. That's why He created it that way. Out of love and care for us. Out of care for our life. Out of love and care for our health. Cadence is. And a healthy cadence, rhythm or groove, whatever you want to call it, leads to a flourishing life. You want to live a life that is flourishing? You want to live a life that is like a tree planted by the waters, producing good fruit and not withering up and dying? Then we need to figure out ways to live in cadence, to live in the rhythm of night and day, of sunrise and sunset, the way that God designed it in, the way that God created us to live. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your power of creation. Lord, not only just that it's creation, but the way in which you did it. That you created day, and that you created night. And then you created other living things. And then you created land and then water. And then you created living things. And after you had created in this perfect rhythm and perfect cadence, in this perfectly orderly way, and had all that set in place, then you created us. Lord, you created us to live in that creation, to live in that rhythm, to live in that cadence. And Lord, you did that because you care about us. You care about our life, and you care about our health, and you care about the fruits that we produce. Lord, and we have got it so messed up. We have messed it up so bad. So often we try to bend the boundaries. We try and work when it's night and sleep when it's day. We try to go a million miles an hour. We try to do it without rest. We try to push the boundaries, Lord. And then we end up tired. And we end up frustrated. And we end up sick. Lord, I pray that as we go through this week and over the next few weeks, Lord, that you would help us have a better understanding of what it means to live in rhythm, in a good rhythm, in an orderly rhythm, and not live a life of chaos. Lord, because with an understanding that you have something so much better for us. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal it to us in a very healthy way this week and then in the weeks to come. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dan. Please stand up if you are able.